righteousness.
I stand complete.
Father, we believe you for today's service, O God, as we just magnify your holy name.
The Lord to worship, oh, worship him, right. The Lord.
We believe there's a river. We believe it that flows from deep within. Let's come to this fountain that's so free, that can set you free. This word that will liberate you this morning, our. As the musicians are singing, I want you to believe the Lord today for your needs, your circumstances, your situations. The prophet of God tells you that you can bring every circumstance under control today. You can only agree, you can believe now. Believe and trust the Lord.
There is a fountain that frees the soul.
Won't you come to these waters?
Come to these waters.
There is a vast supply. Oh, there's a river, brothers and sisters. Whatever your needs are, whatever your situations is, be it financial, if you've got a physical, a spiritual, an emotional problem, there's a river this morning, our.
There is a river that flows from deep within.
Oh, there's a fountain, brothers and sisters.
Fountain that frees the soul.
Won't you believe as you come to these waters this morning?
Come to these waters.
There is a
vast supply. Hallelujah.
The word of God has been opened. The seals have been revealed. The angel of the Lord came down. And we can believe today.
And never shall.
Oh, we just love you, Father. We just magnify your name and we give you all the glory. Today, oh God, we believe for the celebration, the resurrection morning. You bring your children here today, oh God, so that we can sing songs. We can worship you, we can magnify your name. And we know, oh God, that you're a God, oh Father, who cares for your children. We remember the names on this paper. We remember your children that are going through difficult situations. Some are sick in their bodies. Others are challenged with finances. Others have got emotional and personal needs. Lord, who can we go to? For you alone have the words of eternal life. We pray for those that are on streaming, oh God. They too have needs. Lord, we pray for our apostle who's traveling and his family. We pray for the fivefold ministry, our sister churches. We commit them all unto thee, Father. We are so grateful, Lord, that you've sent us a prophetic ministry, an apostolic ministry. Lord, that your word could enlighten our hearts. That we could come to understand, oh Father, the deeper depths and the higher heights. Today we ask of you, God, to be gracious to bless the board members, the government of our church, every department, Lord, the music department. In blessing them, oh God, we pray that you remember your servant behind the sacred desk. Now, oh God, bless your word, oh God. Bless our ears, bless our hearts. Attend to every need in the congregation as we bind every forces of the enemy, as we break every curse, O God. And Lord, we believe that your word will liberate your children, Father, that we'll continuously look to thee, knowing you're the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless us, we pray now, as we continue in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Let's take our scripture reading this morning. Just remember, Brother Dina and family, George and Ronnie Govindswamy, okay? Rest of the notices will be given out later. All right, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Did you duplicate my screen? So he was supposed to duplicate it. I think he extended it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That the brother can open it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. So what are we doing now, brothers and sisters? I spoke to you last week, which I'll bring up the slide hopefully. We did a comparison between Moses, Jesus, and Brother Branham. And we are looking at some truths there. So this year is going to be a lot of work. For God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious words. You may take your seats this morning. Yeah, you got to just duplicate it. Eh? So what we're going to do for the major part of this year is going to the heart of the ministry. And that is why I'm trying to see if I can bring in another service, but the board is advising me there's a lot of load shedding going on, so we still would one service, and I'm thinking of maybe we will do a recording. Bride members will spend the time with the Word, whether you're sitting at work, whether you're at home, whether you're on your bed, whatever it is, but you'll make the efforts. Switch over, brother. Maybe you'll make the efforts to spend time with the Word of God. So, yes, it is true. You are going to see, but Brother Louis, Trevor, I think my computer might die eventually. It is too much. You can't catch everything I'm preaching to you. Okay? You can't catch everything I'm preaching to you, because the same thing even with me, the services of our apostle, I go back. I spend at least on one service close to about 2 months, okay? Because you can't catch it. Go back, and study. And that's what you need to do. So if you do come back and say, well, it's too much, go back to the recordings, all right? Because now we really, my charge is not, it's in my bag. I think I brought it. Where is it? Oh, you plugged it in, okay. But it's not showing, brother. It's not showing. It's not showing. So it's going to die. So you got to make notes. You got to go back to it. All right? And that's how you're going to learn what we're going to do. So we finished off with Godhead. I started off last year what Christ, the mystery of God, revealed. And we stopped, and I came back, and I did a few other subjects, and so now we want to progress. There'll be certain books that I'm going to tell you that you need to go and check, so that for easy reference, okay? Yeah, it's not working. I don't know what's going on, but that's, so we need to try and see what happens here. But I'll go on preaching. If it dies, we'll have to make a plan. I'm trying to make the screen bigger because the brothers are saying it's a bit small. All right. So the subject today is the secret to the secret. The secret to the secret. Last week we spoke about the ministry of Brother Branham. We did a comparison. Brother Norman, do you have that one I did last week for you all? I sent it to you. I knew you. It's in your notes. No, it's on shared. It's there, in the back. Just check on the shared folder. Shared with me. I was wondering why the notes didn't go out. This is here, Brother Norman. That's the one. Okay, so this is the one we did last week. So I'm not going to go into all this. Just talking about the alignment of the planets. There's a whole lot of alignment of the planets taking place, but there's also the solar flares that started. So it started last week. It's going to pick up from now till September. So what you're going to see, you're going to see a lot of electronic things breaking down. People that have got high blood pressure, cardiac, and all these things need to be cautious. Lots of these things, the solar system has an impact. On the Earth, all right? So NASA just brought that out, where the sun is just underneath, that is facing the Earth. Now there are black holes, so the rays of the sun now are going to get intense from now till September. Some people are asking, but does it mean that we have to stay indoors or whatever it is? Well, you need to see for yourself, just check what's going on, but that's the reality of it. Yeah, it's charging, thanks. All right, that's the reality of what's going on. You see, but why is this taking place? Is because the planets are aligning. You notice that if you go back, you'll see the heat wave in India. You're going to see a lot of floods because of Neptune that's come in, Jupiter, Saturn. Pluto is already in its height. Aquarius speaks of the overflowing of knowledge, both from the underworld and the Word of God. On one side, you're going to see that there is going to be a thirst to destroy things that are for good. That anything that resembles God, they're going all out. Things like they want to push for gayism. They don't want to push for let's preserve the sacredness of marriage. They'll push for everything that is contrary to God. You say, but why would that happen? It's because remember the scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So the days of Noah was sodomic condition. Excuse me. Sodomic condition. And so you're going to see that laws are going to change. School laws, the dress code is going to change. The church world is going to get under pressure. You won't, as this thing builds up, it's showing you all this is what's taking place in the planets are being portrayed on the earth. All you need to do is to go, if you go and do a study, Brother Hein did a good study on it, a lot of studies on it, on the alignments and so forth. What takes place up there is having an effect on the earth. And not only on the earth, but this earth here. Like you'd find that people that have certain ailments are affected by the lunar, which is the moon. Okay, and I affected also by the sun. So why would they? Because of the magnetism, because of the energy, because of the vibration that goes out there. So we will talk about all this as we are progressing over the year. So one of the first things that I spoke about was that Moses was born in a constellation, Jesus was born in a constellation, and Brother Branham was also born in the time of the constellation. So this is where we are going. So this chart here will go over and over and over, but we're going to approach it from different angles. All right? Is that note there, Brenham? I see this one hits there. But on mine, it's showing. I don't know what happened. Let's see what happened. Let me share it again to Brother Norman. Okay. I was wondering why, like somebody asked, where's the notes? And I said, I thought Brother Norman is going to send it. Okay, let me send it back to you. Okay. All right, so go back to that. Hopefully the brother will try and get that notes to you so you can go back and study that. How are we going to approach it? I don't know, as the Lord gives us. But today we're looking at the secret to the secret. And the, Paul says, but God had, he says, but God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, what is important for us to understand is that for the word of God to be revealed, it has to come through a prophet. There are things that I'm going to start bringing to you, and you can start understanding why certain things take place, is that if there is no prophet on the land, you're going to find that people will understand the message. They will understand the message. Even if there's no pastor, they will understand the Bible as well. You say, but why? It's because they will have an understanding which we're going to learn. It's called the humanistic level. They will understand even the message from a humanistic level. They will understand the Bible from a humanistic level. But you find the prophet of God tells us that the prophetic spirit in the last days will come. So he says, like as it was in the days of Daniel, where the prophetic spirit visited him, so will the spirit visit us at the end time. Why? Because you need a gifted man to come and reveal the deeper things. Like this planets and so forth, what's taking place. It's all lying in the message. Now, I don't have the luxury of the time to go in and show you the quotes, because if we read the quotes, we're not going to. So for you, what you need to do, you need to take the notes that Brother Norman is doing and find scriptures and put the quotes in. So you need to become more organized if you really want to grow in the Word of God. You can't write on pieces of paper and so forth. And like I see Brother Isaac also encourage brothers and sisters to make notes so that you can learn in a better way. Okay? Because this what we're doing now is going in at another level. And by interaction and chatting to each other about, you know what, I heard this thought here, this is what the scripture I found, this is the quote of the prophet of God, you start learning. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you cannot search. You will get a man that can preach from the Bible. He will go and get all the lexicons and all the Greek and Webster's and everything, and he can present a service. And people will walk and say, wow, we were blessed. But he gave it from a humanistic point. Gave it from a humanistic point. You're going to get people that will read the message books and will preach it from a humanistic point. Brother Branham said this in page that, paragraph that. They present that. Okay, and people say, wow, brother, I never saw the school. The point that we are bringing, there is a secret to the secret. There is a mystery how to understand the secret. And you say, but I don't understand what you're saying. Like lots of times I tell, and people like when I talk about this, I said there is a secret of how you can become financially successful. Now people want to straighten the seats, right? Because successful people do things in a certain way. Successful people do things in a certain way. To understand the secrets of God, you got to know what is the secret to understand the secret. Or what is the formula to understand what God had in his mind. That's what we're looking at. I won't finish it today, okay? But we will take it to a point. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you'll notice that the Spirit of God searched the first realm, which is a physical realm, which we call the first pull. The second level was the spiritual level, and the third level was the religious level. So there are people that you're going to see that have come to know God in the days of Brother Branham, in the days of Jesus, and they came to know God on that level of healing. Okay, that's all. Just, wow, I went there. There were thousands, I would say seven truckloads of crutches. Means a lot of people went for those meetings and they saw the power of God. But where are they today? Why? Because the Spirit searched the physical realm, and that's where it ended for them. Then you had the spiritual level. Then you had the religious level. Those are the levels that the Spirit searches. Now, we will do the first pull, second pull, and third pull in much more detail. So you'll begin to understand what I'm doing. I'm throwing a lot of things out, and we'll pull them out, and we'll home into it. Rather than me taking first pull, second pull, third pull, and you don't know what I'm talking about, we will go to that. All right. For what man knoweth? Now, what kind of man is he talking about? He's talking about a man that's not born again. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the natural man is only in a position to understand natural things. The spiritual man will begin to understand spiritual things. When you go through a problem, when you go through a circumstances, when you go through a situation, you can go through it from a humanistic point of view. And say, look at how I'm attacked. Look what's happening to my body. Look how many times I've got sick. Look at my husband. That's a humanistic point of view. But under the seventh seal, you should be asking, so what is God trying to train me for? What is God trying to teach me? Okay, one of the things that I normally ask people is that when you see some other people, don't say, but look at him, how is he doing so well? And why am I not doing so well? You must ask the question, what am I not doing that he is doing? If you reverse the entire thing, so what is God trying to teach me in my illness? What is the lesson that God is trying to teach me about this? Who is the victim? Am I the victim or the person that is trying to destroy my name? Who's the victim? Oh, Brother Louis, you don't understand how depressed I am. So you're gonna dwell there? Or are you going to say, you know what? If it was not for the grace of God, I too would have been like so-and-so, with so much of bitterness, so much of jealousy, so much of hatred. But I thank God that I am not there. He made me to see the blessings, and I am here. So you need to look at your life from a completely different perspective. Even the circumstances that you're going through, never say, but why me, Lord? When those moments come in, it is time to dig deep in the Word. It's time to fast, it's time to pray, it's time to study, it's time to separate yourself, not ask, why me, Lord? Why me? Okay, so Paul says, for what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So you cannot, John 3:3-6 says, Jesus answered, said, most of you, I tell you, I took it from a different version, unless one is born in you, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And be born, Jesus said, most certainly I will tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So if you don't have the gene of God, if your gene is not quickened, you're going to miss the things of God. Because you only see it as a man. You see, I want to teach you something today. And this is what Pastor Tony taught me. Over the years that I've been with him, and I thank the Lord for him. I was talking to him yesterday. I've never seen gift operate in such a way, just like that, naturally. It's okay, doesn't matter. He said to me, if the enemy can find a reason why you will not go to church, if the enemy can find a reason if he can, to distract you from your spiritual life, he's going to use that reason all the time. Whatever reason you think about, whether it's work, load shedding, you'll use all those things. Load shedding. I got you, Kenvo. I got you. It'll distract you from the things of God. He says, even when he was sick, he was telling me of experience when he was so sick, he wanted to phone one of the brothers. He says, no, I'll go behind the pulpit. I will go there because, and you know what? I was amazed. I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is that don't look at it from a humanistic point. Ask yourself, hey, what does God want me to learn about this? He wants me to stand at my post of duty. Not, you know, Larry, I've got this headache. I'll stay at home. No. He'll give you a headache every day. All right. Look, watch this now in Melchizedek. You say, but where are you getting all this? He says, there is three elements that a man follows. First is the humanistic. Second is divine revelation. And third is visions. There's the three levels. So we need to move away from humanistic. We need to move away from how we see our life, our situations, our circumstances, our enemies. We also got to look. I'm jumping ahead of my time. You also got to look away from your understanding of how you understand the word. What do you mean? You will see just now. I will give you the secret to the secret. You can't use your humanistic way to understand the message. So there's a divine revelation and there is a vision. We don't have visions. Okay? You might have an idea, an intuition, but visions is thus saith the Lord. And now thus saith the Lord is reserved for a word prophet. Most of us are stuck at the humanistic. A good book to read is Taking Sides with Jesus there, but you'll pick it up where he begins to say, how will Jesus look at this? How will Jesus look at this problem? All right. The Ark of God, it says there are three elements that people live in. Is the humanistic, second is divine revelation, and the third is vision. It says like in prayer, when you pray for someone in the humanistic, it says, well, I hope you get well. It says, I'm hoping, I'm believing with you, trying to use all the human faith I can. It says, that's human. Second is divine revelation. When something is revealed to you, you just know in your heart it's going to happen, yet there's nothing but revelation. And third is visions. You know, lots of times, the reason why we cannot move into the spirit of away from our humanistic level, Kenville, is because you don't participate in church. You don't participate in church. You got your mask on, not this mask. You got your mask on, and you are. But Brother Louis, I'm agreeing in my heart. The third pull is to speak. You go to amen. You got to get into the realm of the meetings so that you can enjoy your father's ministry that he's bringing to you through the fivefold. But if you are quiet, like a man that is married and he does not tell his wife, oh my word. Like I tell my wife, yesterday I told her, oh my, you look pretty. Okay, and she beamed and she asked me, you like to eat? Okay, so if a human being can do that, what about God? If God sees that you're on his side, if God sees that you are worshiping and you're amening, though. Now, don't amen for the wrong reason. Are you sleeping? Amen. You amen because you agree with what we are saying. And when you start doing that, then you're going to find that the Lord is going to bless you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So you can, there are things, brothers and sisters, that this bride needs to know. But God wants to see your response. Are you serving him and worshiping him in the humanistic world? Or are you slipping away from the humanistic world and say, you know what, I want to get into the spirit of this message. You see, that is why you've got to be responsible. Musicians, you need to be responsible. Brethren in the board, pastors, deacons, everyone, we need to be responsible. And congregation is to prepare yourself before you come into the sanctuary. You can't be You can't be out there at night and expect the church to get blessed. He will hold you responsible for that. He will hold you. That is why I try not to be out too late on a Saturday. If I'm forced to go for a function, I would go. Weddings, I would have to go. Funerals, whatever it is. But I try not to. See, but why? Because I'm preparing. Like when God said to Moses, tell the men that I'm coming down, they must prepare themselves. They must prepare themselves. When I'm going to do divine order of worship, you're going to understand. And by then, I hope that you are going to start recognizing that you need to agree with the word. Okay? Because one of the days, I'm going to ask them to move the spot plants and I'm going to walk in the congregation. I'm just kidding. Okay. The new birth gives you the ability to discern good and evil. So when you are born again, you can discern what is good and what is evil. You will know, hey, you know what? This thing is for me to learn. Forget the person that the enemy is using. He's using that enemy because God has something better for me. You see, sometimes we are so focused on what people are doing for me. We are so focused on a door that closed that we miss out on the door that opened. We focus more on the door that closed than the door that is open. Because God wants to close that door, you want to open the door. He wants you to step in there, you want to step back there. The new birth gives you the ability to understand, not in a humanistic realm. It's in a revelation realm, which comes revealed to you. Like a husband, he should not even be afraid if he's traveling, if he's anywhere, if he knows his vows, he loves his wife, whatever. He knows, hey, listen, I will do this, I'm doing it for my wife, because it's unto the Lord. It's unto the Lord. The wife is the same thing. It's unto the Lord. When you come to the church, you're doing things because it's unto the Lord. You're not worried. You want to be a participant, not a spectator. Have you been? I'm not really, I don't have the time for sports and everything, because that's one of the handicaps of my father. He kept me away from all those things. And all he ever said, go in the room and study. Go in the room and study. Never. Where's my sister? Where's she sitting there? She knows. Guy, one day, I was with my friends. First time I went out there, and I went to my friend standing by the shop. He comes with a big stick. So that's why I don't understand. And not that I don't understand, but I'm not so much into sport. But have you noticed that people that watch soccer, hey, man, oh, look how he missed the ball. He should have just passed the thing. That's what spectators do. But the guy that's on the field, he knows how tired he is. He knows, oh, you know what, the ball is too high or it went too fast. Spectators are critics. Participants know the energy that it takes to drive a meeting. They get involved with it. And that's what I need you to do, that you need to have the ability to worship God in that realm outside the human. Oh, but Brother Larry, you don't understand. That brother is saying, I'm going to say amen. But you know the problems I have? Amen and agree outside of the human world, believing that God will take care of it. Why stress over something that you can't control? Why stress about it? Just step out and believe God. So the new birth gives you the ability to understand your role, the necessary evil that comes your way, the people that you experience in your life, the things that takes place. You begin to understand, hey, that God is in control. Nothing can ever happen to you if God doesn't permit it. I want you to know that nothing can happen to you. You must say, well, you, Brother Louis, you don't understand my sicknesses, what I'm going to. He knows that. But he has a reason why. Your financial, he has a reason why. Your enemy, yeah. Do you know without Judas there could never be a Calvary? There had to be a Judas that would betray Jesus so that you can have a Calvary. And lots of us don't want that. We want everything easy. You see, somebody lied to you and told you that if you receive this message, everything is going to go well. It's only the start of your battle. When Jesus was born, Brother Branham says, he says Jesus was born with a reputation. People said that his mother and father was illegitimate. They said if he was really God in flesh, why was he born in a stable? If he was really who he says, why is he hanging around with all the people that are of low esteem, beggars and women that are ill fame and so forth? He was born with a reputation. You know, without a reputation, rather. He was born without a reputation. They could not believe him. They could not trust him. Yet the prophet says, the man that made the false arm, he became a man of reputation. But the God who became flesh became a man of no reputation. Nobody wanted to associate with him. So that's what you need to understand. So in Christ the mystery, he says, what is the new birth? He says, Brother Brandon, what is the new birth? It is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. So when you do not know the doctrine of Christ, you do not have life. Because the doctrine of Christ gives you life, gives you birth. And without this birth, you cannot understand the things of God. And that's why many people read the message books, understand the message books from a humanistic point. They can't see the things that God wants them to see. You know, it's like, you know, fathers love to give the children advice and mothers like to give the children advice. But have you noticed that no matter how much you advise your children, they always think they know more than you? Yeah? They think they know more than you. And they think that, my father doesn't understand. He saw this, he saw that. You know? I've got three children. I know what I'm talking about. Not that they're bad children. They're good children. But I know when they are sitting down and I'm talking, but they're standing up in the heart. How's that, Mikey? You know that, eh? Mommy tells you something, you're sitting down, but inside, Mommy, you, I like to call you Quinetta. Okay? They don't understand. That's what happens when you do not have the birth. When you don't have the birth, you can't understand the things of God. Now, when a parent is trying to teach the son, teach the daughter, they are rebellious. And you see that comes right back even into the church when the pastor is trying to tell the people something. Oh, but he just doesn't understand what I'm going through. But you see, the father and the mother is trying to help the child, right? But now we are learning that you must allow your children to make decisions on their own. When they come to the age of understanding, you must do all you can, give all your counseling, and step back. You see, the problem that we are having is that we don't want the children to get hurt. We are trying to save them from hurt, but they don't see that. They see that as interference. Oh, why is he interfering? But they can't say, but why, Brother Louis? It's because when they come to a certain period of understanding, oh my goodness, now I understand what it means. Why my father said that? So what am I trying to tell you is that as a parent, when you are talking to your child, do all you can and leave the rest to God. If you tell a child, don't touch. And have you noticed? They want to go and touch. Yeah? When you tell them, don't put your head out through the window, they'll put their head out through the window. Now, you must allow your child to do what they want as long as it doesn't kill him. You say, but why, Brother Louis? Because it's like school. When you go to school and you make mistakes, what does your teacher tell you? Do it again. Do it again until you learn. So you don't learn by success, you learn by failure. You learn by failure. And when a father and a mother has taught the child everything, allow them to do what they want to, because they will come to the stage where life will teach them themselves. And then they'll sit back and say, oh my, oh my. So it is even in the message. When somebody does not have the birth, you're going to try to keep them. You're going to pamper. No, 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 come, come, come. Sit. Never mind, never mind. Just sit, man. Sit, sit, sit. You know, maybe the Lord will come and visit you. Maybe the angel will come and visit you. Maybe a pillar of fire will come and... No. If your child or your husband or your wife does not have the birth, you just live that life for God. And leave everything to God. Don't nag, don't fuss, don't squeal, don't put notes everywhere. You know, you're an alcoholic, you're a nag, you're this and no, don't do that. You know, don't cook food without salt, put salt in the food for them. Be nice to them because you have come to the revelation of who you are. You've got now, you've been born again. And Brother Brian says, he says, what is the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now you come to know your God. And because you have this birth now, now you're beginning to see the message from a different angle. You do not see it from a humanistic point. When your enemy, when people deal with you and they treat you harsh, ask yourself, is Louis approaching this from a humanistic point of view? Or does he have a revelation of this? Because he seems to be humanistic. I've got the revelation, so I'll step back and allow him to say what he wants to say, do what he wants to do. End of the day, you know what? I want to be in the, on the side of God. That is how you need to be. And so when you have the new birth, Godhead opens up to you. And when Godhead opens up to you, now you begin to first, you get to know your God. That's the first thing. You get to know who your God is. Not the Son, not the third person of the Holy Spirit, right? Because there's no such thing, but you know who He is. And when you know who He is, now you want to understand yourself, who you are as the Son of God. And when you understand, hey, if He gave me this word, He gave me birth, because now it seems like He's got a higher purpose for me. The purpose is that He has made me king and priest. And because He made me king and priest, that means He's going to put me through training. Because I know my God. I know what He wants from me. And eventually you're going to learn what is it that God expects of you. Remember I did the series before the beginning. He wanted a family. He wanted a family that can worship. He wanted a family that can say amen. He wanted the family to say, I agree with this word. This is the word of God. Because He had nobody to worship Him. And that's what it is all about. You see, when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter said, who do you say I am? Peter wasn't sure. The disciples, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say that you are Elijah. But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, He revealed it to you. Now, I want you to follow me now, because I'm going to lead you to the secret, to the secret. How? What is the secret for me to understand the secret? Firstly, brother, are we connected here? I love my toy. Okay, so I said, what toy you got? Okay, let's see. So the first thing is birth. What is the first secret? Is birth. If you are not birthed, you're going to understand everything from the humanistic point. Why? Because the doctrine of God, doctrine of Christ leads to the birth. Now that you know your God. Oh my, this guy's going to die. Okay. Know your God. Now that you know your God, that's what the birth does. You get to know your God. Because Brother Brandon says in that series so I'm going to switch over to my slides, in the message, the rapture, okay? He says, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? One said Elias, and say, so he says, he goes on to say, he says, upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is and who Jesus is. So Brother Brandon comes and completes that. The second part of the revelation, when he was talking to Peter, he says, who God is and who Jesus is. Who God is and who Jesus is. Now that you know your God, you know who the Son is. These guys die quickly, yeah? So now you can start, now you know how to pray. Now you know how to pray. You know who to pray. You know now who to worship. You say, but why you're going to see now the scriptures that I'm going to bring out just now. Because if you don't know your God, you're going to learn this. One of the secrets is he's not going to tell anyone his secrets if they are not connected to him. How many of you all in this church met a stranger on the roadside and gave him your bank PIN number? Anybody? No, my pastor said, you know, money is nothing. Hey, guys, you want my PIN number? Here's my PIN number. You don't do that. How many of you all will tell people things that you know that you want, keep it away, but you'll tell your children at home, hey, got it, little guy? You know what? How to set the alarm? This is the PIN number. You know where I keep my wallet? You won't tell the whole world. The wife, you will tell her some things. You know? A husband will tell her some things. Wife will tell the husband something. So why would you do that? Because you realize that you can trust them. You're going to learn that he will only trust his own. So now that you know who your God is, now you know who to pray to. Now you know who to worship, okay? So I brought the scripture of Proverbs 30, verse 4. You can go home and read it. What is his name? What is his son's name? Now you know what's his name. What's his son's name? There's no issue about it. At one stage, you were arguing. Now, many a times, I've been reading the message books. Oh, brother, can't you see the quote here? God became a man. And they argue and argue and argue. It's because they're reading it from a humanistic point. And they get angry when you tell them, you're born again. How can you talk like that? Don't you know I'm born again? Huh? I believe the message. I believe Brother Branham, man. Go read the book of, I think, James. The devil believes there's one God and trembles. Okay, let's go. Pick up speed. Hebrews. For everyone who lives on milk is not experienced in the word. How many of you will trust your baby with some very serious things? Would you give your child the keys to your car? No? Will you tell your child that's 2 years old or 3 years old, here's $100, go to the shop and buy bread? No, you won't. So, why? Because he's inexperienced. And so it is. When the people that are living on the fundamentals of the message, listen to me, the fundamentals of the message, they are reading the message books, but they are fundamental in it. They are inexperienced. Now, it's been said, the more you practice, the more mistakes you make, the better you become. Okay? So, the inexperienced people want to live on milk of the message. The inexperienced people want to live on the milk of the message. So, what is the milk of the message? They want to learn the law. It's easy to keep. Keep your long hair. Keep your long dresses. Keep your this. Keep your that. This, that. So, they're happy with that. And so, you find in the message community, they lots of times, because they're serving God from a humanistic point of view, people say, brother, why did you come to the message? Oh, brother, I came to the message church. Oh, yes, the services are wonderful. You believe Brother Branham is a prophet? Oh, yes, I believe Brother Branham is a prophet. But that's all they know. They can't go any more further, and they believe that they are saved. They believe that they are candidates of rapture, of the rapture. So it's inexperienced to the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food is for those who are grown, who by the reason of use of the senses exercise to discern good and evil. You only become seasoned, you only become grown, is when you start eating solid food. What is solid food? The ministry under the seventh seal. The ministry under the seventh seal. You know, you must be in a position to understand, you know, let's take a family. Family is made up of different things. Let's take Ethan. Okay, Ethan will come into my house. He walked in the other day. Oh, that's my bike. Took the bike. It's going round and round and round, carefree, running around and whatever it is. Do you think Ethan ever asked the question, I wonder what the light bulb is in this house is? Did he ever hit him and say, hey, I'm going on this motorbike on these wooden floors. What the cost is to replace those floors? He's not going to think of that, right? But his father, his mother, or me, his granny, will think differently. You know, we're thinking on different things. So when you are eating solid food, your thinking changes. Your thinking changes. Even what comes out of your mouth changes. You'll always find that when you are eating food for the milk, you want attention. A baby is always crying. And if you're crying for attention, you have a problem. You have a problem. Oh, you know, Brother Louis, you know, he didn't shake my hand. Brother Louis, you know, didn't visit me. My husband, you know, he's like that, and whatever it is. My wife, she no, because you're still a baby. You want attention. But solid food people are grown, who by reason of use, use the senses, access to discern good and evil. That means you will look at it from a completely different way. You will look at it from a mature way. What is God trying to achieve? You will never look at it from a humanistic point, like as a victim. You know, like I was seeing somebody sent this to me, this particular individual. He was going to work. He was taking his child to work, and his child was having breakfast. And while she was eating, she spilled a thing over her dress. Now it meant now she has to go and have a bath. He had to change her. He was highly frustrated. He was telling her, I'm getting late. I have to go. I've got some meetings. And then he got caught in the traffic jam. And all the way to work, whilst dropping his child, he was screaming and fussing at her because of you. Look at, I'm caught in this traffic. I know what my boss is going to say. He got late. He was working at the Twin Towers. And he was about half an hour late, caught in the traffic. And he says that if his daughter never spilled coffee on her dress, he would have been on time. He would have been dead. You know? So when you have solid food, your desire is different. Now it's not about you. It's about those that don't have eternal life, those that did not hear this truth. You want to now participate in missions. You want to go out there and talk to somebody. The book of Ezekiel says that if you are born again, you'll be sighing and crying for the abomination of the people. That's what you'll be doing. How many are doing that? Oh, brother, I'm so burdened for my neighbor. Let me talk to him about this message, the doctrine of Christ. That's your first sign. That's your first sign that you need to ask yourself, if I'm born again, why am I not doing that? It's not reserved just for me to go out and carry this truth. It's about you as well. That burden should be there to invite somebody to our service. Did you know on our website, your friends can log in and just click on guests and you don't have to register. A lot of them are like Nicodemus. They don't want us to know that they're getting in there. You know, tell them, no, we changed it. Now you can go there, click on guests. I think it's on the, Brother Norman can show you all just now, just for you all to learn. On the right hand side, just click guests, and we put a lot of services there. And by the way, it's free. There is no membership, Shema. Like, no money. You don't pay. It's free. What is so hard? Because you say, why, Brother Louis? Because that's what solid food is. It changes your thinking. It changes the way you look at why God gave you this word. It's not about you now. You want to get this truth out. I'm saying to you, Kenville, become focused on the vision for missions. We're going end of this month. Some of the brothers are going up. We're going up to a particular place. Sometimes it's so dangerous to say, where you're going? Because Harold Beckett will get the call. Hey, Louis is coming. Lock your people up. If Harold is hearing me, it's okay. There's it there. You click on that, Brother Norman. There's it there. Tell them it's free. Tell them we'll never charge. We don't even know who you are. You can go and... So just go there. That's how you can spread the word. On the top, that there's a link there. See where your cursor is, Brother Norman? That if you click that link there, maybe Brother Norman, you can send it to the people and they can just share it. You know, instead of sending memes, or maybe somebody can design that for us. In the congregation, you can create something, send it to the deacons and the elders and put that link there. You want to know about the mystery of God, click on this link here. Just distribute it. Do your part. Okay? When you get on that side, they're going to say, you know, sister, because you shared this link with me, I'm here today. Let's go. If we don't know them, we can't believe them. Okay? If we can't believe them, then we can't confess them. If we can't confess them, then your mediator doesn't go before God. Therefore, you don't get what you believe. So you'd find if you do not know, brothers and sisters, you can't discern, you do not have life, you're not born again, what's going to happen? You can't believe it. You can't believe God. You don't know. You can't confess. From a humanistic point of view, I want to tell you this. To serve God in a humanistic point of view will expose you in a way. When you get discouraged, you will stay away. When you get sick, I'm not talking about when you're really sick. You know, you stay away. You will not find a reason to stay away if you're outside the humanistic world. But if you're in the humanistic world, you're going to find that you do not even confess. That means you do not amen the word. That's true. Because you do not believe it. You say, but Brother Louis, that's why he brought you to say, to worship him, to confess. Because remember that the power of confession, the power of agreeing, creates a vibration for that angel to go back to God and tell him, that son is agreeing. That son is agreeing, so you need to give him what he wants. But if you don't confess it, you know, I was telling somebody, he said, when you're praying, you pray, I thank you, God. Because after you pray, Brother Norman did this on prayer. After you pray, Father, I've got this need. Thereafter, you keep confessing, I thank God for this. I thank God that I've been here. I thank God for my situation has been sorted out. Just go on doing that. Keep confessing, because if you don't confess them, brothers and sisters, then you're not going to get what you believe. You can't get what you believe, no matter what it is. Let's pick up pace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. All are tied together, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them. So the natural man, because he don't know it, that is why you'd find when you talk to people about Godhead, because they see the message book from a natural point, they are not going to see it. And if they can't see it, they're not going to believe it. If they're not going to believe it, they're not going to confess it. Why? Because it is foolish to them. Oh, Brother Larry, where you got this thing? Jesus in Jesus. They don't even know it's in the message. They don't even know my God said unto my God, my Lord said unto my Lord. They don't know it. Why? It sounds foolish. Because why? They're looking at it from the natural man means humanistic. This is the humanistic realm. He can't receive seven seal message. It's going to show up in this church. And every time I say it, people get worried. It's going to show up in this church that if you're serving God in the humanistic realm, it's going to show up. If you are serving God in a humanistic and you are seed of God, this will ignite you. And there'll be a passion to start studying the Word of God. You do it on your own. Is there anybody in this church that's going to university here? I don't really dig into those things. Is there anybody that's doing university studies? Mikey, anybody else? Who's been to university? Sister? Anybody else? Sister? Any one of you, did your lecturer come home and check if you did your homework? Huh? You sure? Your father still pays the fees? Now, why in university they don't do that? But in school, William, did you do your homework? Abigail, did you do your test? Why does the teacher do that? Because they are children. Now, Kenville, you're not a child. You're grown up. I'm not going to come home, stand by the window. Is Brother Roy Anthony studying? Oh, what's he doing there? No time for that. No time to check. Brother Logan, just check why so-and-so is not coming to church. No time for that. Because that's humanistic serving. That is where the natural man is serving God. He's got every reason. Car broke down. I don't have a car. Load shedding. There's no water. Hey, come on. We're living in Africa. You're not going to have water for the next 10 years? I must cancel service? Huh? I must cancel service because we've got load shedding? But you go to work, isn't it? Huh? You eat, isn't it? You make a plan. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is that the natural man will not receive the things of God. The unconverted man will not receive the things of God. Why? Because he'll say it's foolish. Some people say, listen, I just can't accept your doctrine of that God has a son. Who was it? Brother Darren. He was going to a church and we were talking to him. And one day I asked him, I said, brother, you went to this church? He says, yeah, I didn't even know they don't believe that God has a son. Because the congregation does not even know that their pastor don't believe that God has a son. They don't know it. You need to tell them that. That's how we're going to go home. We're going to go, brothers and sisters, you know what? I want to go home. But we can't go home, you know, because we have to get the last seed. And the last seed can't come unless you do the work. Why can't they? Because they are spiritually discerned. So discernment is always connected to wisdom. Now we're picking up pace now. Start following. So discernment is always connected to wisdom. You need a measure of wisdom to discern, to make good decisions. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is to discern the nature of a person or the thing or the person or thing of any matter and act according to the word of God and the will of God. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is when you're judging something, you will, or a person, you will act according to, you'll take a decision that's according to the will of God. Now, how can you know the will of God if you're not born again? The will of God is the word of God. The word of God is the revelation that came at our end time. But he's not going to, as I said to you, you're not going to give your bank card to just anybody and give them the PIN because you don't trust them. God's not going to trust the people with the secret to the secret if they are not born again. He's not going to do that. So you cannot judge without wisdom. And because you are born again, brothers and sisters, now, I spoke about the university students. You can go to university, your father can pay your fees, your mother can pay your fees, or you could have a bursary, and they will never know whether you're going for lectures. They'll never know you went for lectures. You can go to university, come back home, and your father and mother that will say, "Oh wow, my poor son went to university." You say, "But how? Why you say that?" I speak from experience. Okay. Now and again, we didn't like the lectures, and we'll sit in the restaurant and say, "Who's going to go for this economics one? Who's going to go for this one?" Yes, it's true. But the point is, brothers and sisters, because you don't spend enough time in your university library, and you spend more time in the cafeteria, showtime comes when? Examinations. When the exams are up, your tests are up, the DP, I don't know if they still have DP now, okay, duly performed. You don't get those points. You can't blame the lecturer. He gave you the notes. You were supposed to dig in and study. So it is even in this church. We are feeding you food, solid food. You need to sit down and use it to discern and judge your family environment, your family situations, your business decisions, your friends, your enemies, your things, because you cannot do that outside the wisdom of God. You are only going to do that with the humanistic way. The humanistic way. When things go wrong, step back and ask yourself, am I approaching this from the humanistic way or am I doing it according to the wisdom of God? If I'm doing it according to the wisdom of God, wisdom is to discern the nature or person or thing of any matter and then act according to the will of God. That's the wisdom of God. Step back. You cannot judge without the wisdom of God. You might hear something, brother so-and-so said something. Step back. Don't get involved humanistically. Step back. Now what would God do? He'll pray for them. He'll pray for those that the devil is using. Not get involved with it. Are we together? If things go bad in your work, bad things happen, you'll step back. You're not looking from a humanistic point. You say, God, I know you would not have allowed this, but you've allowed it because you want me to learn something. Now, Father, teach me. What do you want me to know? For your servant waited. That's what it takes to have wisdom. Not, why this happened to me? I pay my tithes. I go to church and this and that. And you go on and on. That's humanistic. Now, Brother Norman, there is a quote where Brother Branham says, I live more in that world than in this world. I live more in that world than in this world. That even Meda had a problem with him. Meda had a problem. You know, I, like myself, Pastor Tony, we're on a very, very small level. I go into my office there, sit there. I hardly see my wife, my children. Sometimes I didn't even know that Benji had a beard. I don't see them because, but that is just a fraction of Brother Branham. Brother Branham lived more in that realm, and that's why I want you to listen, because this is the secret that I'm dropping, and you need to catch the secrets. That's why God could tell him, why don't you stroll with me? Why don't you stroll with me? A man that's born in sin, Jehovah says, why don't you stroll with me? Because God saw this man that he was able to exercise the wisdom and judge everything. A couple that is messing up in the balcony, the angel Lord says, they're in your hand. He says, I forgive you. Don't do that again. If it was us, what is it? The humanistic world wants to show off to the crowd. I'm the man of God. I'll show them now. He didn't do that. And I always ask you, Brother Larry, we never found that quote. Apparently, Brother Brandon told this brother, fill the van, pump it up or fill it up with fuel and leave it there. He says, because there's somebody will be coming with some money. What will you and I say? Oh, thank the Lord. He gave me the money. How did God know I need the money? But we approach it from the humanistic. He says, they're coming to give me money because once I take that money, I will become a sort of, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back story. You know what I'm talking about? So there's a quote, but Larry was talking about it. I've been trying to look for it for months. If you'll find it, let me know, okay? Send it to me. The point is sometimes we live so much in the humanistic world that we're not in the position to exercise wisdom. That we don't understand that everything in life is a test. He wants to test you so that he can allow you to break into the secret. But we are looking at things humanistically. Humanistically. Have you noticed that sometimes when the service is on, that's the time the sister is in the kitchen baking, cooking. That's the time he wants to go and fix his car. He's not sitting and says, you know, this is God talking to me via his servants. Let me sit down for this 1 hour and draw strength. Let me listen. I have a certain kind of a discipline. I wake up about 5 in the morning, sometimes 3 in the morning. And I switch on Pastor Tony's services because I have earplugs. Put it on in the morning, go to the gym. And so listening to music, I'm listening to a service for the next 2 hours or so. And by the time I start my day, I've spent some time with the Lord. You know, the early hours of the morning. At night, Sister and I, we've got the service again. On the big screen, sometimes we watch or we listen. Why? Because we want to learn more about the wisdom of God. And that's what you need to do. The student that goes to the cafeteria, you can sit there, it'll show up in the test. The less time you spend with this ministry is going to show up in the test in your family, in your work, in your finances, in your decisions, in whatever you're doing. Because you cannot judge anything without wisdom. Okay? You cannot judge anything without wisdom. And I don't know why that in the back screen goes off all the time. Okay? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Okay, that's got a timer. That's where the timer needs to be changed. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no things. So, when you begin to understand the language, okay, you'll begin to start understanding things that you've never seen before. Now, the Bible has been with you for many years. How many powerful people you heard, including myself, and you said, oh my word, Benin, oh my. And you thought it was the word of God. People walked out. T.D. Jakes, I don't know. I saw him once.
on screen, big screen. We're traveling somewhere. You know, Catherine Coleman, all these people. And we never even thought, hey, they are preaching to you and I on a humanistic realm. I remember when I was young and Jimmy Swaggart was come and he'll pick the mic up with the stand. With the stand. And we were thinking, wow, what a man. And we were enjoying it. And we're thinking it's a great service to have. What a great thing. Okay? But today, now that you are birthed, now you're beginning to understand the language of the prophet. Now you begin to understand the language of the message. Now you begin to understand the language of the Bible. And that once you begin to understand the language of the message, the language of the Bible, the language of the prophet, that's the way of enlightenment. That's how God's going to transform your mind. You know, lots of times people say, no, I read my Bible. Sometimes when I want to witness to people, Brother Louis, I'll just stay with Brother Branham. I'll just say what the tape says. Some people just believe that. You cannot get more understanding than your pastor. You can go and try it. Even if you speak to Pastor Tony, he'll tell you. You can stream on Eagle Faith, the Lord will never give it to you. So, but why? You will catch only what God wants you to catch. So, but why? I will show you the protocols just now. Now, I'm not saying don't stream on Eagle Faith. I'm not saying that. You must take any service. You must listen to Brother Hine, Brother Bonnie, Brother Ace, any one of them. You enjoy those meetings. But a point I'm trying to tell is that if you listen to Pastor Tony, what you see and what I see will be different. You hear Pastor Tony say something else. He says a pastor can spend 5 hours with his studies. He says, but he, as an apostle, can spend 2 minutes. And the Lord will give him in that 2 minutes what the pastor can't catch in 5 hours. So why will that happen? It's the same thing. What Brother Branham can catch and what Pastor Tony can catch, God can talk to Brother Branham in 1 minute and Pastor Tony may spend days to understand it. So, but what? That's how God works. That is how God works. You say, but why? Because that's how the fivefold ministry is. So when you are birthed now, you're beginning to understand the language of the prophet, the language of the Bible, the language of the message, okay? So what's the secret to the secret? Job, for you say, my doctrine is pure, I'm clean in your eyes, but that God would speak and open his lips against you, that he would show you the secret of the wisdom. For true wisdom has two sides. Now, here's it. True wisdom has two sides. The Bible, listen to me carefully, and the message has got two sides. Have you noticed that you can read a book? You read the book. I read the book. And when you see but I never saw that before. It's got two sides. Pastor Tony can read the book. I can read the book. What he sees, I never saw. See, but why? It has two sides. So the wisdom of God is in the Word of God. It's in the Bible and in the message. Now, I want you to follow me because we're going to home into this now. All right, I got to try and pack it now. Know, therefore, the Bible says that God exacts of you less than your iniquity deserves. Can you fathom the mystery of God or can you probe the limits of the Almighty? So God could say one thing, but it can have compound words and compound understanding. I did this before with y'all. Compound words and compound understanding. So that in one statement, there are many different ways to look at that statement that would be right. There will be right in both sides. All right? There are many folds to the secret wisdom of God. There are many folds. Now, I did the series on the But Norman, I hope this thing came up on your notes. Compound usage. Okay. So when you're looking at compound words and compound meanings, so he says all scripture has compound meanings, or it runs in cycles. That's what he says. Okay, he says it has compound meanings. So compound, those are two things. Compound meaning, it could be natural meaning or it could be a spiritual meaning. And this is where much of the problem lies. Is that, and God became flesh. When you read it from a humanistic point of view, you're going to have a natural understanding of it. You're going to have you say, but Brother Louis, I'm reading this word. That is why you'll find that many people, when they sit with you and you want to talk to them about the gospel, they argue with you because they are seeing things from a humanistic point of view. All right? And the prophet says it runs in cycles. Now, I'm not going to go too much into this because that's really not really the heart of my service. But Brother Norman, you can release this part of my notes as well. So you can read there, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Now, when you read that for the first time, the seed of the woman, what did you think? It was Jesus, the Son of God. Am I correct? But now you begin to understand, hey, hold it. If that's pertaining to Jesus, now I'm beginning to understand that that body was God's body. The blood was God's blood. So the seed of the woman is actually Jehovah God. Are you with me? I called my son out of Egypt. It can be referred to Moses, or it can refer to Jesus. It's a scripture. Now, in the days of Jesus, I'm speaking from memory. I'm not going to go through my notes because there's too much time. The Bible says, and the valleys were made high and the mountains made low. They were waiting for the valleys to come high and the mountains to be made low, and they never saw it. Yet he was talking about those that are seated in high places will be brought low, and those that are in low places will be brought high. Because they were looking at it in a humanistic. And that's the trouble we're having today in the message community, are reading the message and understanding from a humanistic point, because they don't know the secret to get the secret. What is the secret to get the secret? Out of Egypt, I called my son. The book of Isaiah, right? You can see that prophecy. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Okay? So Egypt has two meanings. Egypt is the sense of the world. Or Egypt is also in a sense, the corrupt Israel. Now, you can go through that. I'm not going to go through it because there's a lot of things. I did it some years ago, but you can look at that, okay? Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Right? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, and we may do all the words of the Lord. So it belongs to you, and it also belongs to your children. Belongs to you, and also belongs to your children. So before we ever knew anything about the prophet, that the word of so we need to know that the word of God has to come to a prophet. Now I'm going to break down the secret to the secret. We have now learned, firstly, that you need the birth. Without birth, you will not know your God. Without birth, you would not know how to pray. Without birth, you don't know who to worship. Now we are learning, that's one, that's secret number one. Secret number two, now we are learning that you cannot get anything without a prophet. Now you are learning that the Bible and the prophet speaks in compound language. Now, I did a study on this before with you, but just to tell you, let's take the word Christ. Let's see how many of you can remember Christ. What does Christ mean? One, Christ means? Let's participate. Christ means? I can't hear you. Christ means anointing. Christ means anointing. Okay. Two, Christ means? Anointer. Christ means? Accountability. Anointed. Christ means? Christ means? So, you can look here. Because the Bible message says, is that the Elijah of today is the Christ is the Christ for today. So Christ means anointer, anointing. And so Christ can also mean the Son. Christ can also mean God. You can go on and on and on. But how did you know that? How did you know that? The prophet said it. It was made in a statement, but it took the fivefold to bring it to you. But you read the books. You read the books, but we broke it down to you. So, oh my, I didn't know that. No, it's not that you didn't know it. It was there. You just needed somebody to bring it out to you. And then you catch it. Why could you catch it? Because you're birthed. You know, it's not a good place to say this, but I heard the story before. There's a gay couple that went and they were fighting in court, and these are two men, and they said, no, you know what, I'm a woman. He says, no, but you're two men, and he went to court, and the judge wanted to sentence them to prison, and everybody was putting pressure on the judge to release them. So the judge says, no, this person is saying that she's a female, right? So I'm going to put both of them in jail, and when the female gets pregnant, I'll release them. Now the point is, brothers and sisters, is that if there is no life, you'll never get to know the truth. But if there's life there, when the fivefold ministry breaks it out to you, you catch it. Oh my goodness, it makes sense. All right, let's go on. So the secret we're learning here now is that God has to reveal it. So this is the revealer. This is the revealer. But the moment that you find that quote, he lives more in that realm than this realm. And Brother Larry, your quote. So he is the revealer. So you can read your message books. Now, here's the thing. Oh, I got the books and the tapes. I don't need to go to church. I'm going to stay at home because this man behind the pulpit, it takes so long. I'll stay at home. You will not catch these things. You will dry up so fast. You will not know what happened, because it's like this, like it's going to a substation, a huge power station that's 22,000 volts or more, and plugging in the screen here. Does the screen work? The screen will break, Denzel. Yeah, maybe put it here for me. I can see my notes better. Or put it here. You don't want to use it. All right, so we can read parables. We can read the Bible. We can put an understanding to it that will make a sense, but we'll still find that it's not what God wants you to know. So how many times you spoke to people in the denomination and in the law and in the messages says, We are blessed. But when you sat in the service, you're thinking, when the service going to start? But they're excited. Because God can write a parable. Like If you read Matthew 24, I think, where you read this that's parable or he's talking, how you would not know that's the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal. You would never know that until a prophet has to bring it out. The fivefold has to expound. He says, "Oh my goodness!" And that's how, like the man to the good Samaritan. Okay, he went from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a good story. It's a good parable. But the man on the man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves is the church. So you can preach, oh, the good Samaritan, he took oil, he took the wine, he put him on the donkey, took him to the inn. That's one side of the parable. The other side of the parable, it speaks of the church that was at Jerusalem, the upper room. And through the seven church ages, fell amongst thieves. Okay? And there had to be a man at the end time that comes up, because the Bible says, and there was this good Samaritan that came up. That good Samaritan was Brother Branham. Because he comes from two different races or three different races. He finds the church, put them into the word of God, and he gives the innkeeper two pieces of silver, I think. The books and the tapes. He says, listen, the books and the tapes will keep them. Now, it's not Brother Branham, but it's the ministry of Son of Man who's doing that. So you can read the parable in one way, or you can read the parable that will truly bring out the meaning of the message. Or Jesus was sitting on the was in the boat, he was fast asleep, and the disciples woke him up. Master, wake up. Don't you fear that we perish? And you can preach about the storm. And he stood out there and his storm be still. Or you can take that illustration and speak about the mystery between the two revivals. Because Brother Brown says he came out from the revival and he went to the boat. That means in the days of the prophets, there was a mighty revival. Okay? And now you'd find it seemed like he's gone quiet. And that's why Brother Brown says calling Jesus on the scene. You can read your Bible in a natural way. You can read the message in a natural way. But when you put on the wisdom of God, the Bible becomes a new book. The message becomes a new book. Do I make sense, brothers and sisters? Okay. All right. So, before we ever knew anything, we knew it was a prophet. Surely the Lord will do nothing but reveal his secrets through his prophet. That is how God's wisdom is. He will allow a parable to be written, and you can get a lot of good things out of it. Before we even knew anything about a prophet, okay. Now, he can allow you to read it, but what actually is meant, what the parable means for the day you're living, that is supposed to bring out an energy, an enlightenment, an empowerment, you will not get it. You could not get it. Read your message books, read your Bible, you'll get something out of it, but that's not what God wants. That's why coming to church is so important. Oh, but Brother Louis, I am streaming. The environment at home is different. Sometimes you want to stream, I understand, because you're sick. But streaming is not worship. Streaming is there for those who can't get to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of God's people. You come together because you want to honor the resurrection. So you can get something out of it. All right? Don't worry. This is here. I don't know why. I need to see why this thing comes up with all my notes. All right? It's just a little insert that doesn't matter. Evernote. You can get something out of it. All right? And so you'd find, brothers and sisters, that's why every church can get something out of the Word of God. But that which pertains to deliverance and salvation is of the Lord. So you'll see, you talk to people, oh, brother, I went to Grace Church. I was blessed. And how long was the service? Oh, we started the service at upper 7 in the morning. Hey, praise the Lord, by upper 8, we are out, brother. Convening, pastor preached the word, took up the offerings. We worshiped the Lord. singing. We sang for 45 minutes. Pastor came in 10 minutes, preached for us. Wow, what a service. If you've been to Kenville, oh, that guy takes 2 hours. You've been to Eagle Feet, oh, even worse, he takes 6 hours. Understand me? But the seed that was this, oh, 6 hour meeting, 4 hour meeting, 2 hour meeting, let me sit there and draw. Let me break up my services 1 hour a day. That's what you should be doing. 45 minutes a day, break it up. Have your books, have your notes, have your Bible, and study the Word of God. Deuteronomy, the secret things belongs unto the Lord our God. But those things that are which are revealed belongs unto us, to our children forever, that we might know the words of the Lord. Amen. So we can pray, we can ask the Lord, you can fast and pray, ask the Lord to reveal things to you. You can do all that. You know, the Bible says believe and you can believe it. The Bible says believe it and you can believe it because that's what the word is going to say. But God won't give it to you because God has a process by which the secret things are revealed. He only reveals his secrets unto his prophets. So we learned now, be born again because we teach you the secret to the secret. Be birthed and believe first line is the prophet. But you can't access what the prophet says and catch everything. You need the ministry. You need the ministry to come in. Okay, we did Amos. You'll do it. So this concept of the secret things of God, there is a secret how you can get the things of God. The secret is you cannot get them outside of a prophet. You can't. You can't get anything outside of a prophet. And that's why denomination sounds so good. People get so blessed. God allows it. I hear people tell me, in our church, brother, oh, the parking lot is full. How's your church? Oh, you must see how the people say amen. How's your church? Brother, you must see how people sing in our church, in Grace Church. How's your church? All right. So therefore, denomination does not build on a prophet, but built on a missionary or an apostle that is one sent, because remember, will not get the secret things of God. Remember that you cannot, listen to me, you cannot get the secret things of God through an apostle. You first need a prophet. Luther was not a prophet. Wesley was not a prophet. Irenaeus was not a prophet. Columba was not a prophet. They were apostles. They were one that was sent by God. Some of you don't even listen to Brother Branham. Now you say, but Brother Louis, you just said when you can't get everything from Brother Branham, why must we listen to Brother Branham? Why must we listen to Pastor Tony? Why must we listen? It's because the Spirit will bring to memory the things that we taught you from behind the pulpit. That's what it is. As I'm preaching and as you listen to the tape, the Spirit will say, remember in church that he said that? Remember that? Remember that? He will recall you. That's why you go there. And what does it do? It creates impression. And impression creates memory. And memory begins to start affecting the way you are. Change your behavior, change your character. Do you know, they say that if you do something now, if you do it for 90 days, not 21 days, 90 days, it becomes a habit. 90 days. That's the humanistic way. But if it's, but from a spiritual way, when you are birthed, you can be birthed and stop. You can be birthed and stop. And you'll still serve God in the humanistic, but you will not get victory in your life. Why? Because you'll all the time be dealing with life in a fundamental way. Now, your doctor, he can tell you about your body, your anatomy, but my work is in the realm of the spirit. That's where I live. A big part of my life is in another dimension that the world knows nothing about. Now, can you imagine? He lives most of his life there. Okay? And I remember in another study I picked up, he says, it's so difficult. He says that I can walk past somebody and I've actually seen their life flash before me. And sometimes he says, I'll be talking to them and I know they're lying. Like I told my board, I tell my deacons, I tell my elders, when you talk to somebody and they're lying to you, and you know they're lying, just give them the benefit of the doubt. I say, but why? No, it's going to show up. If they're lying, it's going to show up. Just don't, no, brother, you're not, leave it. We give you the benefit. You didn't do it, you didn't do it. It's fine. But you'll never get victory in your life because you lied. You need to go back and put it right. So they were apostles. They were not sent. They were the ones sent with a mission to go out there and mission it. Their mission was to take what the last prophet brought and establish doctrine. So the last prophet that they had was who? Paul. So all church age messengers were missionaries. They were apostles. They never came. So you can have an apostle which is a missionary that is not doctrinal. Okay, like I would not set doctrine because I believe there's already an apostle on the earth. And any doctrine, now God forbid the Lord takes Pastor Tony away and there are men that will arise, they will not come and replace the doctrine. They won't. They'll come and add more information on the very same doctrine that you've been taught. Remember that. Because that's where most of the churches split. They break, oh, but you know what, brother, Pastor Tony didn't say this, or Brother Louis didn't say this. No, if the doctrine and the concept and the laws are the same, and they're adding more information to it, and it doesn't change the doctrine, then it's okay. Because that's where most apostles' work come to naught in the days when they're taken off the scene and the people are fighting. But where's it? Where's the quote yet? It's a law. They're just adding more information. I need to say something else here. You're going to find that those of you that have been here for a long time, there's a lot of things I've been saying and I've been coming back to it, but I'm coming back with more information. Pastor Tony will tell you the same thing. Lots of things he's preached in the early days. He's coming back with more information because there's a heart of the message that the bride knows. And the Lord will first give you what we call a skeletal picture. Then he'll home in and home in and home in. And it gets clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Like what I told you once, it's like those early days that when they discovered movies, first it was black and white, no sound. The first time I saw a black and white picture was when I came to Stormville Barracks. I know people don't like that word. And I was like, what is this? The guy is moving. No. So I told him, hey, where's the sound? He said, no, those things don't have sound. And then they brought in sound. So, oh my goodness, it's wonderful. Charlie Chaplin, no sound. Now Charlie Chaplin can talk. Then they brought color picture. Said, wow. Now we can see he's got a red suit. We never knew that. And people enjoyed it. And then suddenly the pictures begin to change. Now the colors begin to change. And then they start putting things on CD, you know, VHS. Oh my goodness, it's so clear. And then suddenly it went to DVD. So, oh my goodness, it's much more clearer. And then Blu-ray came out. Oh my, it's unbelievable clear. And now you just download Netflix. Oh my goodness. Clarity. Now they come ultra. It's so ultra that you can actually, when that projector is on or that screen, you can actually see the little, hey, but I thought she had no wrinkles. Oh my goodness, I didn't know she had a pimple on her face. Because you never saw it when the picture was black and white or DVD or VHS, but now with ultra, oh my, clarity. So what am I trying to get at? That's what this message is. First, it started off with handwritten notes. There was no books. Brothers would listen to the tape. Big reels was not shared with everybody. Big reels, and people listened to that, and then they began to write. From there, it went to Neil Halliver. From Neil Halliver, went down to now where every one of you got it. What am I trying to tell you? Even when you're listening to our services, it's so vague. And now you begin to see the bigger picture, understanding the doctrine of Christ. So these prophets and apostles that came along, or the missionaries that came along, they had to go back to the last prophet, which is Paul. They had to say what Paul said. They could not do anything. That's why you'd find that in the days of Brother Branham as the seventh church age messenger, he says, I preached what Paul preached. I preached what Paul preached. This guy's going to die, Daniel. But look, check whether we have... Okay. This is going to die anytime now. All right. That's why you find they looked at Paul. Okay? So if there's anything new to be revealed, it cannot be revealed via an apostle. What happened? Okay, I thought I did something here. It cannot be revealed by an apostle. That means it has to be revealed by a word prophet. A prophet has to come first. After a prophet comes, then the apostle. Then that apostle can set the doctrine order and the secret can come to you. See the problem that we have right now in the church, in the message churches, they don't want to receive an apostolic work. They want to tell you, I think Nathaniel, maybe plug it directly to this on the strip. Okay. Now, they don't want an apostle. They'll say, let's see what the word says. You know, I want to see what Brother Branham says. But now you're learning the secret to it. Firstly, okay, let's go here. The secret is that you need a prophet. Now you need an apostle. Why? Now he's going to take the doctrines. He's going to take the doctrine of what? He's going to take the doctrines and he's going to break it down. Where is he getting it from? From the revealer. He's getting it from the revealer. If any ministry takes you away from the revealer, which is Brother Branham, run for your life. If somebody comes in and tells you, I've come to replace Brother Branham, run for your life. Okay? You see, but why? God will reveal it only to his prophet. God will only reveal it to his prophet. Then that apostle can set doctrines in order and the secret can come to you. So a pastor that is not prepared to work under an apostolic work will never take you to the secret things of God. Never. Will never take you to the secret. A pastor can listen to Brother Branham. He will bring it only from a humanistic point of view. So, but why? Because I'm showing you the secret to the secret. So it is first, you have to be birthed. If you're birthed, now you know your God. Now your prophet, when your prophet is speaking now, you're not from a humanistic point. Now it's a revelation to you. The revealer is the prophet via God. Now the apostle now catches this doctrine. His job is to break it down. His job is to break it down. Okay? If there's anything new to be revealed, it cannot be revealed. Okay, we did that. So the secret to the secret is that you have to have the knowledge of God's provided way to reveal, which I showed you here on this board. God's provided way to reveal. If you do not believe that, he wrote the secrets by the prophets. He reveals it through the prophets. He wrote it through scribes and through the scribes and revealed it to the prophet. That's basically what we talk about. Then you're going to, so if you don't believe this, if you don't believe what I said here, that God's going to use a prophet, from a prophet to an apostle, what's going to happen? The problem is great, you're going to have, you're going to follow a pastor who is denominational. And most of the message churches are becoming denominational. Okay, because you believe in the pastor. And so you can have a man who's got a doctorate, a man went to the seminary, he can tell you lots of things. Oh, what a... But he's never going to take you into the mind of God. And so, when all this that is taking place, when the world is going into a sodomic condition, those kind of teachings are not going to hold you. It's not going to hold you. Okay? Everyone has the ability to read the scriptures and bring the secrets out. They cannot deny there are secrets because the Bible is loaded with mysteries and secrets. You know, I've heard so many pastors take the message, right, and the message books, take the Bible, and they'll preach some great mysteries. Some ministers, I've heard them preach great mysteries, but that's not really the secret that God really wanted you to know. The secret things that belongs to God, the secret to the understanding secret is to get a hold of God's prophet. The secrets that are being revealed brings wisdom in the age that you are living in. You see all the subjects we did now, PSTN, people, situations, things, and necessary evil, roles and relationships. All those things that we brought about, all the subjects that we've been talking about, this year, the fruitful life, it's bringing to you the secrets that's to be revealed. It brings out the wisdom for you to live in. Because you're in this age here now, it's bringing out the wisdom. Now you begin to see things in a different light. There is no other source of wisdom but God. There's no way for you to get wisdom except through the mouth of God. So the method to study, catch it from your pastor. Go back to the recordings. Have the word of God open, the prophet's words. Have your Bible open, and then these things break to you. It's not the other way around. So if you're studying, study what's been preached to you, and go back and check scriptures. Check the messages. Research Pastor Tony. Research all the services I did. And that's how you begin to start gaining the wisdom of God. Don't try and do your own study. Oh, no, I want to do my own study. And Brother Louis preaching on fruitful life. Let me go and fruitful life. Let me go and study the book of Daniel. You'll get nowhere. Believe me, you'll waste your time. All right. There is no other source of God. There's no other. Okay, Psalms, Proverbs. The heart of the wise, which is God, instructs his mouth, which is the prophet, and adds learning to his, which is the priest. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, and sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. So what does the wise God teach his mouth? It teaches him understanding and wisdom. So knowledge and understanding only can come from God. And the wisdom that we need is only from God. So remember, because only the wisdom is where? God's wisdom is where? God's wisdom is hid in Jesus Christ. Okay? God's wisdom is hid in Jesus. We'll come to that just now. He sends with a mouth that is taught with the knowledge and understanding and wisdom. That's what he does. So remember that Jesus was a prophet of God. Jesus the Son was a prophet of God. He carried the wisdom of God with him. Are you with me? Okay? Are we all catching up that there is a protocol, a line, a secret to get the secret? Don't let somebody come and tell you, no, brother, we just got the tapes and you will die spiritually. So we must find the secret of how those secrets are to come out. So we know it's the prophet. Outside the prophet, there is no wisdom of God that is available for the believer. There is no wisdom of God outside of the prophet and his message. The messenger is coming with the wisdom of God. No matter how learned they are, no matter how skilled they are, no matter how good their doctrines are, without a word prophet, there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, which is only with God. The wisdom that we need is only with God. Okay, so remember that. So the message is coming with the wisdom of God. So for what? For the disciples to be taught, to become wise, so they can walk in wisdom and be able to make decisions that are pleasing to God, that God can bless. Sometimes in your life, excuse me, your homes are not blessed, your businesses are not blessed, and you want to do your own thing. And sometimes some of you think, nah, this guy is saying, I'll do my own thing. But you're failing to understand that wisdom is hiding from the pulpit. And you don't want to apply it because you think you know more. They can do the will of God because it's been revealed to them. Once the will of God is revealed to you via the services, you say, well, let me practice this. Your life will change. Because now we expose you to the secret of the secret. Like, it sounds so foolish when you hear me say that no matter what you're going through in your marriage, just do it unto the Lord. But the human side says, but he doesn't understand what I'm going through. No. That's your test. That's your test. When I say don't give a reason to stay away, but he doesn't understand this. See, you can quote Jesus is the rock. But when the rock is speaking, when the rock of revelation has been given to you, you deny that rock, then you deny God's way. You can say Jesus is the rock. But when the rock is speaking, you see, lots of times people want God to come directly to them in the pews. There is a quote. It says, would you believe that if Jesus was standing there with a white suit? He's talking about the ministry in Random Tabernacle, but they didn't even catch it. When we do the 10 vision, you'll understand it. Okay? So you can amen, and when the wisdom is coming, no, this guy doesn't understand my situation. Quoting and believing is different from understanding the secret of God. You can quote a lot of things, but when you understand it, now you put it into operation. You know, like we said once, we're living in tough times. And you must learn, in order for the family to survive in these trying times, you sit down as a family and draw up a family budget. What are the meals that you're going to buy? Learn to buy in bulk. I'm not saying buy bulk. You can't go and buy 100 loaves of bread and pack it away. But you buy things that you can store. Buy in bulk. Okay? You say, but why would you do that, Brother Louis? So that you can stretch your money. I was teaching somebody a concept, is that when you learn to swipe your card, you don't control your money because you don't know how much you're using. You need to draw from your bank what you're to use for the week or the month. And when you see your wallet running out, you see how quickly you'll stop spending. We gave you wisdom. After your tithing, you put 10% away before you pay your expenses. But what do? We earn our money. We pay our tithing. Some of you don't pay tithing. And you pay your expenses and you've got nothing left. You try this. Take your money. Pay your tithing. Pay your offering. Pay your mission fund. If you don't know how to determine, speak to your deacons. They'll teach you. And put away 10% of savings. But I can't save. You can't help not to save. And then pay your bills. You say, but why, Brother Louis? You keep the 10% as your emergency fund. If you don't have 6 months of savings in your bank account, you are financially broke. If you don't have 6 months of saving in your business, you are financially broke. It's a principle that you must learn. But what do you do? We don't want to do that. You think you're smart, and then one day you phone me and say, Brother Louis, I just can't understand it. I just can't make it. We're having so much of fights. It's because you're not taking wisdom. I told you, as you get older, unless you're a businessman, as you get older, learn to cut down the cost of your living. Because it's a dangerous age we're living in. Don't upscale yourself. If your car is good, do use that car. And you know what, you have a house, the house is good, fine. As you get older, learn not to take on new debt. Because you're going to start working harder and harder. I think I taught this to Brother Logan many years ago. Is that every increase you get, don't use the increase, put it away. Keep your lifestyle the same. But what happens when people get an increase? They increase their lifestyle. They change the car, change the house. Now they don't buy from Jam. They go to H&M and buy clothing. They use the credit cards and MasterCards, and they're back to normal. They're waiting for another increase. What if Jesus was standing tonight wearing the suit that he gave me through my good friend Carl Williams? You see, he's saying that in a parable. What if you're standing here and had the suit on, and you walk up to him and say, Jesus, will you heal me? Now, lots of things, we're going to go through that as we're going on, about the suits and everything, how you can't separate the man and the message. So the point I'm trying to get at, brothers and sisters, is that these are things that we're giving wisdom to. Driving a car with no insurance, let alone have no driver's license, some of you. Driving your vehicle and your tires as good as my head. You see, but why? Because you'll find one of the days you're going to learn. When wisdom comes, you don't want to listen. And you think you know more. Tell the young girls, young men, keep the sanctity of your life. Because you don't know what God has in store for you. Before you get married, look at the family tree. How is the mother and the father before you say to the pastor, I want to get married. When you're meeting a girl and a boy, don't present the girl and the boy to your pastor on the wedding day. Your pastor should know about it well before you make your decision. But most parents say, don't tell the pastor. Don't tell him, don't tell him. You know, he's such a... And then you want us to do the wedding. I've got no problem with that. And then it shows up. When wisdom comes, people don't know. They don't want to accept it. When you tell you that when you don't pay your tithing, you'll work as hard as you can. I was telling somebody yesterday, we don't know whether people are paying the full potential of the tithing. I'm not going to check it. That's not my job. Whether you're paying your offering, that's my job. Or mission, that's not my job. We're not going to do all that. If you tithe, you don't tithe, it's fine. I said, but why? Because we know that your bags will be full of holes. You'll work twice as hard to keep your home and your family. We read the book of Habakkuk. You see, these things, when it comes to us, we just put it aside. So you'd find that's what the denominations, that's what the message is saying, is that, you know what, I've got the tapes, I'll say what the tapes are saying. I don't need anybody else. I don't need the pastor to tell me what to do. Then you're in the wrong church. We tell you what the wisdom of God is, how to run your life. Never tell people how much you earn, how much you make. You have problems. You'll have problems coming up in your life. See, all your Facebook things, young people, you're showing everybody that you ate at KFC last night. You took a photograph with that burger in your mouth. Or all you young girls, you're posing with that boy today. When you get married, it'll come back to bite you. Your husband will question you about that boy that you had 5 years ago. Young girls, you don't want to listen to me and keep your life. You want to drive around. and do whatever you want. And one day you'll find out that that'll come up in your marriage. It's for you to blame. You see, we're living in terrible times. Difficult times. You need to learn to become mindful of yourself, to keep yourself. The pastor needs to keep himself. Elders and deacons need to keep themselves. And the only way is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God you need to. You know, let's go on. All right. So you can look at the message, you can study the message, but you're going to go nowhere. Because why? God wants to speak through the prophet via the apostle. And what's going to happen, brothers and sisters, is that the wisdom of God has to come via the pulpit. God's provided way is after it comes from the mouth of God, it comes to the lips of God, and that's the priest of God. I'm showing you the secret. So now we learned birth, prophet, apostle, now it's the priest. These are the priests. The pastors, the teachers, all this makes up the priests of God. They come to teach you. The priest shall retain the knowledge. Did you know in the days of Moses, like, you know, we're doing the subject, ministry beyond the grave as well. You know the gathering that the archangel will teach the messengers now, and the messengers are going back and teaching those people that they gathered unto. So lots of time people don't understand the concept. I don't know anything, or I will not. I can listen to Brother Branham, but I will not catch what God wants me to know until my apostle teaches me. It's straightforward. And Brother Branham could not know anything unless the angel that was sent from Jesus the Son to carry the message of the Father. Okay? Oh, gosh, we're running out of time. All right. Amos 3:8. The lion had roared. That's the Almighty God has spoken. Who will not fear? That means who will not show respect? The Lord God has spoken. Who can prophesy? So every time a prophet comes on the scene, he speaks in quality with him. He speaks in the same office with him. He speaks in the same authority of him. That means when Brother Branham is coming, he's speaking as though it is God speaking. When he's speaking as a prophet, he's speaking with the authority of him. To disrespect when the Lord is speaking or via Brother Branham is mean you're disrespecting God. Now, see, lots of times, lots of people are only ascribing this to doctrine. But it's your day-to-day living. It's your day-to-day living. How you run your home, how you run your finances, how you raise your children, your marriage, your respect for my elders in the church, the board members, how you participate. You know, I watch the church, by the way, and don't ever think that because I don't talk, I don't watch you. I watch you. Sometimes I sit in my office, I can see the whole church. And you should know by now that sometimes the audios are recorded as well. It is recorded as well. Uh-huh. What's Sister Phyllis? You spoke about me. I didn't check the recording. Okay. You know, a simple thing. I watch the young men in church, older men. You just walk out, sisters, tissues on the floors, this, that, and everything. You're telling me that that's exactly how you run your house. You're telling me that you don't care at home, you know, how the things are. Because when a husband, if he really loves his wife, he will take care of her and provide for her. And if you really love God, you'll get involved in the things of God. The maintenance of this building, paying of the bills. You say, but why, Brother Louis? Because it's your home. Have you noticed in your home, sometimes the responsibility is left only to the father to run the house? Your children don't care. They don't worry. They feel, listen, it's okay, whatever it is. the house is doing fine. That's the same attitude that comes in here. Where's the offering? Pastor Tony taught you that. He says you need to decide. He says you take a 10% off your tithing. If your tithing is 200 rands, you take another 20 rands and put it into the offering. That's 30 rands. And maybe you want to put 10 rands for offering, that's a mission, that's 40 rands. You determine. You don't have to every week put money. You don't. You participate, you contribute, and even in your homes, contribute to the family household. Take the burden away. Become part. You say, but why, Brother Louis? It's stewardship. When you grow up as a young man and you get married, you realize what the cost is to run a home. The same thing in the church. You'll realize, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that the to run a church is so much. I need to be part of it. Maybe say, I'm not interested. It's fine. We've got no problem. We're just trying to show you the wisdom of God. You say, well, where did you get that from? When they were building the tabernacle, what did the Bible say? Ask the people to bring. The people had to bring. God didn't rain that curtains and pins and poles. They went and brought it. That there was so much. They didn't know what to do with it. But the people's hands got blessed. Because they participated in that program. And when you start participating in the vision that we have regarding missions, come back and tell me if your home is not blessed. So you could be in the message with the greatest of all abundance of food stored up in the books and tapes and be as dead in sin and don't even know it in the very message. Why? You don't know the secret things. All right. So every time a prophet comes on the scene, he speaks as God, he speaks with the authority of God. And so if the apostle is coming and pointing you to the prophet of God, and the pastor is coming and pointing you to the apostle of God, who are they pointing to? Tell me, God. They are pointing to God. So when you disrespect the fivefold, you are what? Disrespecting God. Who can speak when the Lord is speaking? Everybody should be hearing. Everybody should be listening. Everybody should be waiting. That is why worship is so important. When you come in, you are prayed up. You get into church, you are listening. You know, you're listening. You're waiting for the service to start. You're amening the word because why? God is speaking. It's God speaking to us. We need to be attentive. Amen? The Lord had spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who can go and preach outside that? Who can say anything different from that? So the world is guilty, brothers and sisters. The world is disrespectful. The world is rejecting the final voice. They're rejecting the absolute. And you will see the laws getting worse. You know now that you go in, there's one toilet, male and female. But it was introduced so quietly, you didn't even notice it. You didn't notice it. You didn't think it, but they're working towards gender. Those transgenders, they're promoting all those things. They will remove everything that stands for God. That's why you've got to go back to the secret things. All right? So in the days of Noah, the Lord spoke to Noah, no one else. Now I want you to show you now, please bear with me, okay? Please bear with me because I'm going to try and get you to a point. By the way, you know, if service is too long, I don't mind if you have sandwiches, you go out to have your meals and you come back. I'm serious, Shema. Ask her to make that roti and bring a piece for me, okay? Go out to have your roti and beans, come back and eat and sit here, all right? And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's a secret they did not know. God told Noah they're going to destroy this earth. What is Brother Branham telling us? God is telling Brother Branham the secret things, and the world knows nothing about it. The world knows nothing. The alignment of the planets, the solar flares, All the different alignments that the floods that's going to take place, the rioting is going to take place, the protesting will take place, the wars that's going to break out. What is it? Secret things. Secret things about the eclipse that happened last week. Now, in Genesis 18, 17 to 19, we hear about Abraham. And we see that he had the visitation. And the Bible says, shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? So now I want you to see now, Abraham is a type. We're going to use Abraham as a type. And before I bring this to a close, okay, I'm going to go very fast. I know all the time they come back and say, oh, towards the end you went very fast. Is it my fault you're listening so slow? Okay, so God says, seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. For I know him, that's where we're going to zoom in. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken. So Abraham was a prophet of God, and God was saying, I shall not hide anything from Abraham. Whatever I do, I'm going to tell Abraham. All right? So Abraham is not only a type of this prophet messenger, right? He's not only a type of that. So because remember that Abraham has got many types. If you look at Abraham, he's got many types. So Abraham here now is a type of a prophet messenger. Okay? I should not put not. So he's a type of a prophet messenger. And if God said that to Abraham, don't you think God's going to do the same thing to Brother Branham? That God's going to start revealing to Brother Branham the things that he is about to do. All right? And so we see that Brother Branham now, when he looks at the life of Abraham, he sees two angels. And the Lord reveals to Brother Branham, this is Billy Graham and Oral Roberts in type. Right? So why is he bringing this out? In Genesis 18, somebody came to visit Abraham. He says, I saw a man. Okay? And he called him Lord. Lot saw them, and he saw two men. Abraham saw one man. He saw God. He says, you know, that's Elohim. That's God Almighty. And now God begins to reveal to Brother Branham. You saw the two angels there? Those two angels is a type of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Now, when you study those two angels that went down to see Sodom, where Lot was, you would find that they blinded the people. If you read the book of Genesis 18, there were men there that came along and said, listen, Lot, I see you had a visitation of some men. Why don't you bring them out so that I can know, so that we can know them? That was gay men. Maybe Brother Norman can bring that scripture. You can read it very quickly. They wanted to know them. Okay? What was it? And the Lord reveals to Brother Brian, he says, listen, those angels is a type of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And when Brother Branham went back, he looked at it, he said, wow. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And that's how. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men that came into this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That word know is not like, hello, my name is Louis. No. To be known, acquaintance, principle, well, that's just one aspect of it. But it's got a sexual connotation to it. You know that? Adam knew his wife. Go and read this Bible. And Adam knew it. So, okay, let's go on. We're running out of time. So what did they do? They, by the gospel of justification and the gifts of the Spirit, will blind the world from the truth of the light that they need. So Oral Roberts was Pentecost. Okay? Billy Graham was about salvation. And so a lot of people say, listen, if you believe the Lord, you are saved. You don't have to worry about anything. And so they went that route. Other people went along with Oral Roberts with the Pentecostal gifts. And that kind of a ministry blinded the people. And you're going to find that even in this age now, that the message community are going to look for things, because they can't get into the secret things of the Lord. They are going to look for gifts of healing, prophecy. You're going to hear about it. You put your ear to the ground. Hey, brother, we had a prophecy breakout in our church. We had this sister that came out and the Lord healed her. There are people in our church sitting in our congregation who will tell you, whilst they were sitting there, God healed them. You see, healing is not for you. You heard it on Tuesday. Those miracles are not for you. Okay. Once you find the secret to the secrets, then you write in God's provided way to be able to deliver you. Okay. Now what we're going to do, we're going to look at Abraham and Brother Branham as a parallel. That's what we're going to look at. Billy Graham had 6 letters. Abraham had 7 letters. What about Brother Branham? 7 letters as well. Okay? All right. Genesis 18:19. For I know him that he will command. Now, if you read the right rendering, it says, for I know that he is going to institute. I know Abraham is going to institute this. He's going to strongly teach. He's going to strongly reinforce the message that God gave you. Don't you see the similarity even in our day that Brother Branham comes along and he strongly institutes. He comes and he strongly teaches. He reinforces that which God gave him. You see, you're going to see the similarity of Brother Branham and Abraham, okay? So he says, his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the ways of the Lord. So Abraham, the angel said, I know that he's going to enforce this to his children. He's going to enforce it to his household, that they keep the ways of the Lord. So, all the servants of Abraham were part of his household. All the servants of Abraham was part of his household. Amen. So what we are saying is that this is made up of the ministers. Okay. The ministers, you will make sure they stay in line with what God gave Abraham and his children, that they have been born from his household. That's what it's all about. God teaching Moses, Moses teaching the priest teaching the men, the men teach the mother, the mother teaches the children. That's how it works. And God knew that Abraham will do just that. That he will speak to his household, he'll speak to his wife, he'll speak to his children. He'll enforce the things of God. So there will be saturated the message that God gave to Abraham, the promises that God gave to him, because he wants to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. You see, a pastor should not worry about what people think about him. Because we are not here to make friends. Because if a pastor is there because he wants the people to be happy and he does not preach to them the full counsel of God, then he'd rather step down. You can't do that. You can't just be there to keep the people happy. He's supposed to preach the full counsel. He's supposed to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And God had confidence in Abraham. And that's why God had confidence in Brother Branham. They said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body. I have a work for you. Then everywhere, when Abraham went, they were wanting Sarah. And the angel of the Lord protected the womb of Sarah from foreign seed. Every time this prophet tried to pick up a cigarette, every time you wanted to do something, that pillar of fire will come down to warn him. You're a man that is supposed to be a man at the evening time. And you are born. In one message, he says, I was born under a Nazirite vow. I was born under a Nazirite vow. Why? Because God was having confidence in Abraham. Here God is having confidence in our Abraham in our day. Abraham Lincoln was born to liberate the people from natural slavery. That's why Brother Branham took to him so much and spoke about him, Because this Abraham in our day comes to liberate us from the bondage of oneness doctrine and denominational spirit. So that we can be liberated and not be slaves, but become children of God. So he'll teach them to do justice and judgment. So you can't judge anything. You can't do justice in any way unless you have wisdom. A lot of times we take our own decisions and we think it is right, but it's contrary to the wisdom of God. But when you use the wisdom of God, then you can judge it from good and evil. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Shall I hide from Abraham the things that I'm about to do? So God knew how the messenger of the age is going to bring up those ministers under him. And I believe that God knew that Brother Branham is going to be faithful to his post of duty. He's going to bring up children, which is the church. So Abraham is a type of the seven church age fathers. That's what Abraham types. He types the seven church age fathers. That means the seven fathers that came in the seven church ages. I'm going very quickly. So in every age, there was a father to the age. And God visited them in the measure of an angel like he did Abraham. So Abraham had an angelic visitation. Every messenger had a visitation of an angel. Okay? Every messenger had an angel visiting them. Except in a minor angel instead of a major angel. Because Abraham had Elohim. Brother Branham had the personal presence of God. Paul met him on the road to Damascus. But Irenaeus and Columba and Luther, they had minor angels. They had minor angels. What did the angels do? Brought them a message and confirmed to them what they needed to be delivered in that age and not be in the Sodomic class. That's what those angels came. Martin, Luther, Wesley, and so forth. This angel is coming to teach them. So if Abraham was taught of God and God was not hiding anything, in our day, our Abraham gets the wisdom of God and he now teaches you. How does he teach you? By the fivefold ministry. Every age, there have been three classes because there's an Abraham in every age. There's a Father Abraham type in every age of the seven stars. In every age, you've got three classes of people. In this church, you'll always have three classes of people. It'll eventually come down to two classes of people. The believer and the unbeliever. Don't ever tell me that because your child was born in a message home that you believe they are sons of God. They must have their own experience. They must meet God. They must meet God on their own ground. And you can't make them meet God. You can only create the environment for them. You can't give them a bond. Every father would want the child to be in heaven. Every mother would want them. But you can only create the environment for them. God has given these men because he knows how they will bring up the priesthood and the church in that age. Therefore, he didn't hide what he was about to do in the age of Luther. He's going to restore by beginning a reformation. Not restoration, but reformation. He began to reveal to Luther by the days of reformation. He was going to restore by beginning not restoration. So, because why? You cannot have restoration without a prophet. That's why it was reformation. So every messenger is the type of Abraham that God entrusted and sent an angel. Paul and an angel, Luther, Brother Branham. So the fathers of the age, you have the fathers of the age, you have the children of the age, and you have the household. That's where you are. The fathers of the age, the children of the age, and the household. They were the fathers of the age. They had children of the age. They had a household of God, just like Abraham. And God said, I'm not going to hide anything. All right, so I'm going to stop here. There's a lot that we're going to go into. But now you're beginning to understand now. So now you have the fathers. You have the children. and you have the household. Okay? Let me do this for you quickly. So I'll end it here. The Father, let me look at this way. So the Father for Brother Branham was Jesus, the Son. The Father, so this is Brother Branham, okay? This is Pastor Tony. This is Louis. So the Father of Pastor Tony is my Father, will be that. The Father, the children of Brother Branham will be Pastor Tony. The children under Pastor Tony will be the pastors. Okay, so for Pastor Tony will be Louis. For Louis will be the church. Do you understand me? It'll go on and on like that, and you'll begin to understand the line of direction as we are going on, that I can't know more than the apostle, and neither can he know more than the prophet, and the prophet can't know more than the son can't know more than the father. And when you begin to understand that secret and you follow it to the T, your life will never be the same again. God bless you. God watch over you. God keep you. I can take you on for another 4 hours, but you're already tired. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are grateful for this day. We ask you for your blessings upon each one of us. It's been some time the people have been here. May your spirit become the after teacher. As Lord, we've done the first part of the secret to the secret. Lord, that as we break this down, the children of God will come to understand that you could not hide it from Abraham. You did not hide it from Brother Branham. And Abraham would have told the secret to his children. Brother Branham told the secret to our apostle. The children went and told the household, the servants, and so forth. And Father, we see Brother Branham brings it to the apostle. The apostle teaches the pastors. And now the pastors are teaching the household, which is the church. Lord, we ask of you for your grace. We ask you for your blessings. Inspire our hearts. Lord, may we focus on the things of God. And many things have been said today. We ask you, Father, that we'll continuously stay in your will, in your wisdom that comes through a prophetic ministry. An apostolic ministry and a fivefold ministry. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Terence.